This is an interview with Governor Attia. This is Tape 57, Side 2.
Well, another illustration would be when I talk about sensitivity. You know, a governor is supposed to be governor of the entire state. I'm not going to come back to one we said before where Neil Goldsmith blurted out of the middle of nowhere, meaning that anything out of Eugene or Portland was out in the middle of nowhere. That lacks sensitivity. That shows you, it shows you the depth of his, what's it really in his mind. And the governor's governor of all of Oregon, not just part of Oregon. When I was elected, let's use the first time, or even the second time, which is a larger majority, but the first time about 54%, that means 46 didn't vote for me. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to only appeal, do what I can for 54% of the Oregonians. I'm now governor of the whole state. I'm not governor of part of the state. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about, and being not non-politician in that sense of not being sensitive to what is your job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about the Washington State senators? We've talked a little bit about Dan Evans and Brock Adams and
Scoop Jackson. I knew Dan Evans Jansen. Better than Brock Adams, although I knew him. Knew Scoop Jackson. Mm-hmm. But again, they knew me and I knew them, and if I said I wanted an appointment, they knew who it was that was asking for it. And it wasn't any close relationship, but I knew them.
And who was the other senator that was?
But Scoop Jackson is the one that get everything done.
Yeah. Warren Magnuson.
Warren Magnuson. Knew him less so than Jackson. He wasn't really what you call a powerhouse. He just had seniority just by having lived that long.
You know, it seems like with Magnuson and Jackson, they were not only in the right party at the right time, but they were also in representing their state when the country was very affluent. They had a lot of seniority
We were expanding.
We were expanding
there at that time. Uh-huh. When money got tight, that's when the Republicans became a majority. There wasn't that much money to spend.
Would you say it's fair to say that when our senators got the seniority that would enable them the same kind of status or power, that not only were they in the minority party, but also one of their main contributions was really to keep the pie from being cut with a smaller, much smaller slice for us, rather than really expanding that slice.
Yeah, we got into the time when everybody began looking at the deficits, and times were good or bad. We went through a tough recession, in the early years of Reagan. And so, yeah, when they got there was very little to spend.
Did you know Slade Gordon at all?
Who?
Slade Gordon.
A little bit, not greatly.
Tom Foley?
No, didn't.
Looking at Alaska, Governor Bill Shuffled and Wally Hickel?
Knew them both very well. Met Wally first time when he was appointed Secretary of the Interior. Mm-hmm. Boy, did he get a lot of static. And Sheffield, of course, we served together as governors.
I guess I sometimes draw a comparison between the way Hickel was towards the press and the public and Dixie Lee Ray. Do you think there's a similarity there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He seemed to get his foot in his mouth a few times.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, uh-huh. That's right.
Cecil Andrus?
No, not very much. Mm-hmm. Very little. Mm-hmm.
Either as Secretary of Interior or as Governor?
See, when I was there, we went to the three governors of Washington, but Evans was governor of Idaho, Schwinden was governor of Montana. I got to know all of those people quite well. And the Western governors, you put a whole lot of them there.
Looking back again at some of the people in the legislature, some of the people that have been there for a long time, Debs Potts.
Debs, he and I have a very, very good relationship. Although Debs, And I say that without any animosity at all. I think we may have covered the time I was finally elected as Republican leader of the Senate. And ran against Tony Ituri and won, and Tony was an in guy. I was against coalitions. I think Debs and Lynn Newbery, along with some of the others, made sure that I didn't get any respect, particularly in terms of, that was when I had the tie-in Burns, and we put up different people for president of the Senate, and my name was never on that list. In spite of all that, and I don't say it with any animosity, he and I are really close friends, developed as very close friends, and Lynn Newbery too, because Lynn was my transition guy, and I appointed him on SAFE. Appointed Debs on the Lottery Commission, he's still there. Debs quite a very, he's a very interesting guy.
Why was Tony Ituri on the inside, an in-group person,
well,
and you were not?
There. Tony had been there before I came to the Senate, Debs, Lynn Newbery, you know, some of those folks. I came in. The interesting part, I was known as the liberal senator.
You were?
That's who I was, identified as the liberal senator. I did not support coalition, never thought it was a good idea. Mm-hmm. And coalition had been a pretty comfortable thing for a long time. So, you know, I wasn't going with the flow, I guess is the word, use that word.
I would imagine that then, not being in favor of the coalition, you probably didn't support some of the coalition presidents that came along, like John Burns and...
Well, John became the coalition guy, and of course we at that point had to give a total vote, and I voted yes. Mm-hmm. But I voted no early on in my votes for president of the Senate under the coalition arrangement.
You've talked a little bit about Jason Bowe from time to time.
Jason's a very interesting guy. I just saw Kathy a couple nights ago. Mm-hmm. Been thinking about writing to Kathy to figure now that she maybe, you know, you don't get over the death of her husband, mm-hmm. but, you know, can deal with it a little bit better. It's interesting to me that Jason comes into my mind quite frequently out of all the people I served with. Mm. It's hard for me to say why. We had a good relationship. We argued. While I was governor, we argued. I was quite angry several times, and yet we got along together extremely well. And Jason, kind of unique, and I don't know why. I can't explain it to you, but every once in a while I think about Jason. And there's a lot of people I served with. Mm-hmm.
You said a long time ago that every once in a while you think about Ted Halleck.
But not as often as Jason Bowe.
And probably not in the same way.
No, as favorably.
And Phil Lang was sort of...
Phil was a nice guy. I knew him a long time. Just consider him a friend. Mm-hmm. He got involved with the Hornets and... gave up some of his authority as a speaker, which I didn't think was a good idea.
Vera Katz?
I knew Vera. I met Vera for the very first time when she was up sort of lobbying for Cesar Chavez and the farm workers. Hmm. It's the first time I met Vera. Vera was a good person to work with, matured considerably as time moved along. I think she did a very good job as a legislator and will undoubtedly do a very good job as mayor of the city.
What about Sam DeMint? I don't think you've mentioned anything about him.
Sam, good friend of mine, both he and his wife. Well, good, steady head. And, you know, he's one of these agricultural kind of folks that just, I use the term repeatedly, has his head screwed on good.
Mm-hmm. And what about Earl Blumenauer? He's been on the council for a long time. He was in the legislature.
Well, I think I have greater differences between Earl and myself. Sometimes I think he's less sensitive to people and their concerns, different views.
Another person who was briefly mayor was Connie McCready, and she was also in the legislature.
Connie did a good job as a mayor. She carried her own weight in the legislature, mm-hmm. was not one of the powerhouses, but carried her own weight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you've talked about Tony Meeker, haven't you?
Hope so. Tony is really a first-class guy. He served Oregon extremely well, served his district very well, did a super job as treasurer of the state, and I wish he was my congressman. Didn't work out.
Ed Whalen?
Ed was a real neat guy. Ed, labor guy. Loved to tell the story when he called a strike on his father's business. Lee was quite an outspoken spokesman, even as a labor leader for the Port of Portland. Port of Portland bills Ed Whalen would always carry. Quite a moderate labor leader, as we know. He worked for, after he left PGE, as their, what would be the sort of a lobbyist in the legislature. Very well respected by both sides.
Don Wilner?
Don, a very interesting fellow. I think he was running for, I recall, treasurer or secretary of state, I don't remember. But he was going to, one of the things that he was going to do was to canoe down the Willamette River. I thought, boy, that's a good idea. That, you know, you can't talk to too many people here on the canoe. Don, I can recall, actually, when we passed the, I think I may have mentioned his name before, passed the three-way workers' comp bill, mm-hmm. and he was carrying the minority report, meaning opposed to it, mm-hmm. and I was carrying the majority report, and actually we went through lunch, recessed for lunch, and finished off the debate in the afternoon, and just two of us talked, no one else. Mm-hmm. Don was exhausted. I was having a good time because I had the votes. And I remember that very well. He was completely exhausted. He lay down and took a nap at lunchtime. I don't know, Don was sort of a loner. Wasn't able to accomplish all that he would probably have liked to have accomplished. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Going back to Ed Whalen, you talked about the story about his strike on his father's business, and you like to tell that story. Could you tell that story now?
No, other than just what I just told you. He'd just love to say he called a strike on his dad.
And his dad had what business?
I can't remember. He probably told me, but I don't recall that. All I remember is that he just thought that was pretty good.
Are there others in the state legislature that we haven't talked about? Lo, these many hours, and... Or other governors, or other people in Congress?
No, I think we pretty well covered. I would like to, you know, I went through, Cecil Edwards put together a deal, and so I went, it was sort of accumulation, who served when, and it goes way back. And, mm-hmm. But I kind of reviewed that. When you ask me the question, I'm sure there's a lot, we could spend a whole lot of time talking about each one, but I went through and figured out how many different legislators I served with in the House and the Senate from 1959 till I left in 1978. And I served with 290 different legislators.
Gee.
And then if you would include, during my term as a governor, there were 50 others. So altogether, during my 28 years, I served with 348 different legislators. So surely I've forgotten some of them. Yeah, we. Gosh, I shouldn't even begin it, because there's a whole lot of, Mike Thorne we haven't talked about.
Yes, we.
Mike
that's
Thorne
right.
Is a great, great legislator, great senator, did a fine job. Considering both he and his wife Jill as close friends today.
He's with the port now, isn't he?
He's the port now, and she's the one that really put this together, Oregon Trail thing.
Uh-huh.
Very, very good people, both of them. Harry Boivin, and you know, how can you? I think I talked about Harry, but there's no really point in starting it because you know, 348 is a lot of people.
But if there are any that you care to talk about, any that you have particularly interesting stories about, that would be wonderful to get down on tape.
Now, Arthur Ireland, he served from Washington County. We campaigned together. He was a legislator before I started, but we served together in the House and then over into the Senate. And he never referred to me as Vic. He just was, hello there. After all those years. But I liked Arthur. I thought he was a neat guy. Leon Davis goes way back, again, Washington County. Maybe as it would relate to me, he was running, and I said to myself when I was running for the first time, gosh, if he gets elected, he'll have been in 6 years. You know, I'm saying this is great credit. This is incredible. And then when I look back on my career, 28, you know, I thought that was kind of a statement at that time. John Mosser, oh, what a fertile brain he was. And there was a thing they kept calling the Mosser plan. He always did have a plan of some kind. And if that didn't fly, he'd come up with another one. Clarence Bart, what a guy. He served as Speaker of the House, my third session in the House. Jake Bennett, who served in the House. I had real trouble with Jake Bennett because he'd been recalled, whether it was City Council or County Commission, I don't remember, but he was recalled. But then he was elected as a member of the legislature. I'm like, this is terrible. Finally, I put my mind at ease by saying to myself, well, he represents the Jake. Vern Cook. Grace Peck. Oh, and we could go. I guess we might as well stop. I mean, we really just, you know, I've got good memories of some. Some more than others worked with. Tom Hartung, Wally Carson, Betty Roberts. Those are all people I worked with.
Jumping up to the federal level again, you've talked a little bit about President Reagan and George Bush and Gerald Ford, all of whom you knew.
Yeah, Gerald Ford, I've already said, I think he's one of the great presidents of all time. Knew Nixon, not as well, but had met him and known him. Maybe in terms of warmth, I think I've already said this to, George Bush, and maybe next in line, but not very far behind, Jerry Ford, and talking in terms of warmth, you know, just coolest, Jimmy Carter. Then next in line, maybe it would be Richard Nixon. Reagan was pretty austere, very formal person. Mm. Nancy was even more austere. Mm. Barbara and George Bush, probably in terms of a team, were the warmest, most outgoing of the presidents that I've had a chance to know. Now beyond that, I'm thinking to myself, maybe I'm reminiscing a little too soon. Some of the world leaders, I'll do that in reminiscence. What else you got?
Anybody else in the executive branch? I don't know if we talked about Dale Robertson or not.
I dealt with him a little bit. That would be the regional forester.
Uh, James Watt, of
Jim
course.
Watt.
We talked about a little bit in terms of your conferences where he came out.
Yeah, he was controversial.
And Don Hodel, we talked to him.
Very,
yes.
Yeah.
Did you know Secretary of Agriculture Ed Madigan at all?
No.
What about any of the other Secretaries of Agriculture?
Dwight Watt? Butt, I got to know. He came out to Oregon several times. Trying to think of the name of the Commerce. A really nice fellow.
Moshbacher?
No. Before him.
Before him.
He was actually, he liked to do rodeo work, and Bob Smith would go out rodeoing with him. They'd do the team roping. He actually fell off a horse and was killed.
Hmm. Think oh, right, name. Right.
Great guy. Jim Baker, I knew quite well. Strange.
Jim Baker you knew after he was in the White House?
Yeah, with Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of some of the other names. That's a great opportunity, you know, being governor. I've never met any of these people. None of them. It was interesting, one time I was on Air Force One, and there's a phone. There was a phone between. There's two seats. There was a phone there. It wasn't until later I realized, you know, because I didn't know who this person was. But the phone. Then I think I answered it, but it turned out this was Admiral Poindexter. He was sitting next to me. I didn't know him too well. Later on, became quite famous. Well, there's quite a few. You got to go to the White House, got to get into the White House, the Oval Office. I think I did cover the story when I was there the first time into the Oval Office. Flew back. I think I did cover that.
With President Reagan or?
No, Ford.
In Carter.
It's not Ford.
Ford, oh, Ford.
1974. He had, by that time, had pardoned Nixon. But we said, come on back, you take pictures and do whatever you want. If it's going to help you in the campaign, fine. A few that they thought might have a chance to win. And incidentally, that day I left Portland at 5 o'clock in the morning, went to Washington, saw Wendell Wyatt, went to the White House briefing, pictures with Ford, got on the plane, came back. 9 o'clock that night, I'm at Happy Canyon Pageant. So it was incredible to me. But I think I may have told the story. It's funny, but Dolores said to me, is that office really oval? And I said, gee, I don't know. But I can tell you what the rug looks like. Still a rug mat even back there in Washington, D.C.
I presume that he had an oriental rug of some kind?
No, it's a special made rug. If I recall, it was oval, but it had a border with stars around it, uh-huh. Kind of blue color with uh-huh. A tan on it. But, I wasn't going to go, first of all. I wasn't going to get a chance to be in the White House again, so I went and to see the president. Because I said, there's no votes in Washington, D.C. They're all out here in Oregon. But it was a great experience, and I recall that.
Well, looking at some of the comments in reviewing your political career, there's quite a range, of course, and I might begin with Representative Tom Troop.
Troop
of Bend. He was a chairman of the House Revenue Committee, and he said, "I think he has become a much more effective governor toward the end of his tenure." That, of course, you know, towards the end, you were supporting the sales tax, and your popularity had gone down, and yet he felt that you were more effective. Then, did you feel that you grew into the job more as time went on?
No, that's from his perspective.
Uh-huh.
From my own perspective, I said after my first year, and I'm really the only one that really knew what I was saying, is that I went further faster than even I thought I would go. My first session, I was quite mm-hmm. successful. If I measured it over, and I can't actually take count, I can't tell you by numbers, just my own sense of it. The bills that I was interested in, major legislation, I would have to say that I was successful, I don't know, 90% of the time.
How do you compare your two terms? Which do you think is more, you were more effective in?
It would vary because I built.
Uh-huh.
But building to me, you know, is, you know, what's more important, the time you lay the foundation or the time you put the shingles on the roof? Mm-hmm. You know, you had to have a foundation in order to put the shingles on the roof. I think it was a cumulative thing. I knew where I was going. I knew what I wanted to do. It just took me 8 years to, mm-hmm. well, sometimes less than 8 years, but it took me that long to build mm-hmm. and to get to where I wanted to go. Economic development, for example, we had to get land use plans acknowledged. It took a while to get that done, but we moved in that direction. One stop permitting, that took a while to get that all put together. Mm-hmm. Running government like it should, saving dollars, you know, it's a whole bunch of things that were, one was piled on the other. I think I did quite a bit in 4 years. But when you say you measure one against the other, the giant gap was that we didn't deal with property taxes.
Yeah.
By and large, everything else we were able to accomplish.
Ellen Hayakawa from the Oregonian had this view. He had a whole review of your tenure. And he had a number of interesting comments. His first one was that he said, Victor Attia led the state through its worst economic time since the Great Depression, preserved basic state services, reinforced higher education, helped shape important state and national energy legislation, and worked to diversify the state's economy by courting business around the Pacific Rim. And we've talked about all those different elements. Did you know Ellen Hayakawa? I mean, did he interview you personally?
I'm sure he did, but he did not cover me like some of those that were down there.
Right. But then in what you've just referred to, he said, but like his three immediate predecessors and following two successors, Attia struggled and ultimately failed to find a long-term solution to Oregon's school financing dilemma, and made only relatively minor changes in the state's tax system. Do you feel that was true?
Yeah.
Was it frustrating, and I think I've asked you this before, but having so much to do with state taxes from all your years in the legislature and then being governor and having so much expertise in that particular area, is it must have been really frustrating for you not to have achieved certain ends in that area?
It was, very much so. You know, if you go through it piece by piece, we covered it once, but I told them, legislature, if you don't do something, before the end of session, I'll call you back to the special session. They didn't, and I did, and what we came up with was declared unconstitutional, so it never got to the ballot. That was that Ed Fadley Mickey Mouse thing that we had put together. You know, I knew that we had to do something to head this whole thing off, but do it in a very well-planned way. The best well-planned way, and I've already covered that, was the 1985 tax bill. That was the best mm-hmm. I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And that was turned down significantly by the voters. So that was frustrating. And I've identified it myself.
Hayakawa said that in the arcane languages of tax policy and spending priorities, politicians encode their beliefs and desires. Do you feel that
politicians what?
Politicians encode their beliefs and desires.
Yeah, sure.
You feel that's yeah. a pretty
well. Basically,
accurate.
You follow the. You know, taxes are this matter of incentive. I never believed that. By that I mean I believe it does work, but the fact that I don't believe it should work. Mm-hmm. You give to a charity because you believe in the charity, not because it's tax deductible. You know,
right.
that's That's where I'm coming from. But you know, that's the way it works. I think I told you when the whole idea of eliminating all deductions.